Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
FTX appears in bankruptcy court. What we're learning about the company's finances. And Beyond Meat had a blockbuster IPO in 2019, but now the business is struggling.
Beyond sales, grocery sales anyway, are dropping much faster than the rest of the category. So there is something foundational happening for Beyond. And in fact, sales are increasing for its main rival, Impossible Foods, who is also stealing market share from the company.
Plus, how to show more gratitude toward your coworkers this holiday season. It's Tuesday, November 22nd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. A lawyer for FTX says a substantial amount of its assets are missing and may have been stolen. The statement came during the crypto exchange's first appearance at a Delaware bankruptcy court since filing for Chapter 11 earlier this month. Wall Street Journal pro-bankruptcy reporter Alexander Saidi says the company reports having located some $1.4 billion in cash that it says belongs to the business, but there's still a lot about the collapse that's unknown.
The question is going to be, where is the money that customers are going to be looking for? Is that money going to be located under the control of a Bahamas company or an American company? And if more and more money is going to be found in the Bahamas, that means that the really relevant process here for customers to try to locate their funds could be in a Bahamas-based liquidation that has a different legal system, different dispute resolution mechanism. It's just, you know, an entirely different body of law altogether that governs how people would get their money back.
The Wall Street Journal has previously reported that FTX is facing an $8 billion shortfall. Today's hearing is the first in what's expected to be a long, complex, and unprecedented bankruptcy case. Meanwhile, Sequoia Capital, one of Silicon Valley's most successful venture capital firms, apologized to fund investors during a conference call today for its $150 million loss on FTX. That's according to people familiar with the matter who say Sequoia also vowed to improve its due diligence and said it believed it was misled by FTX based on its recent bankruptcy filing. It's a rare position for Sequoia to be in. The firm was an early backer of Apple, Google, and Airbnb, and has long been seen as the gold standard in the venture industry. The Supreme Court has denied former President Donald Trump's request to block a House committee from accessing his tax returns. The ruling could clear the way for Trump's returns and audit records to be handed over to lawmakers in the coming weeks. The House Ways and Means Committee hasn't said exactly what it plans to do with the documents. It would take a separate committee action for anything to be disclosed publicly. A representative for Trump didn't immediately respond to a request for comment, but his lawyers have argued that they expect his returns to be made public if they're handed over to Congress. President Biden says he's extending the pause on student loan repayments through June 30th of next year. The move comes after several states filed lawsuits challenging his plan to forgive up to $20,000 in student debt for many borrowers. Biden addressed that in a video posted to his Twitter account today.
I'm completely confident my plan is legal. But right now, it's on hold because of these lawsuits. We're not going to back down, though, in our fight to give families breathing room. That's why the Department of Justice is asking the Supreme Court of the United States to rule on the case. But it isn't fair to ask tens of millions of borrowers eligible for relief to resume their student debt payments while the courts consider the lawsuit.
If the litigation hasn't been resolved by June 30th, the Education Department says payments will resume 60 days after that. And we report exclusively that the U.S. and its allies are honing in on a price cap for Russian oil of about $60 a barrel. That's according to people familiar with the talks who say the final level could be announced as early as Wednesday, when ambassadors from 27 EU member states are set to meet. The aim is to limit Russia's revenue from energy exports and avoid a surge in oil prices when a European embargo on Russian crude imports begins early next month. Coming up, Beyond Meat's problems go beyond slumping sales. What's behind the company's challenges and its plan to fix them after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
Beyond Meat promised a plant-based meat substitute that looked, felt, and cooked like the real thing. And when it went public in May of 2019, investors were very enthusiastic. It was one of the most successful IPOs in decades, according to Dealogic, and the company's valuation quickly soared to over $10 billion. But just a few years later, the story is much different. Beyond is now losing money, racking up debt, and trying to navigate a rotating door of executives, all while U.S. grocery sales of plant-based meat substitutes are falling. So what went wrong? And can Beyond overcome its challenges? Joining me now with more on this story is Wall Street Journal agriculture reporter Jesse Newman. Hi, Jesse.
Hey there.
So, Jesse, going back to Beyond's IPO, there had been, of course, considerable enthusiasm about this company. What's the state of the business right now?
Yeah, about $10 billion worth of enthusiasm after Beyond's Wall Street debut. That's right. So state of business, Beyond is really struggling. It's hard to know where to start. Their list of troubles is really long. The company is losing more and more money each quarter. It's got over $1 billion in debt. Its sales are dropping. It's losing market share. Its stock price has plummeted. Its executive ranks are in turmoil. One of its former executives sort of famously made international headlines a couple months ago when he was arrested for biting a person's nose. Beyond has recently laid off close to 25% of its staff. And, you know, they're now sort of pivoting to a new business model to try to stabilize the business. But of course, it sort of remains to be seen whether they can do it.
So let's peel out some of the pieces you mentioned there, Jesse. You spoke to current and former employees about the leadership of the company under CEO Ethan Brown. What did they tell you?
Yeah, so many of the current and former employees that we spoke to for this story talked about a failure of leadership, starting with Mr. Brown. Many of them said that they really admired Beyond CEO. He had this really bold vision more than a decade ago to build meat from plants, and then he has grown a company dedicated to this idea. But they also said that as Beyond's business has grown, that the CEO really struggled to run its day-to-day operations. And specifically, they pointed to challenges planning and prioritizing projects, or at least sticking to priorities that he laid out for the company. And they said that he had a lot of passion, but that translated into this drive to sort of launch new products. And that just led to really unrealistic timeframes and then, you know, constant delays and missed deadlines and irritated customers. And in a lot of cases, just botched launches of new products.
Jesse, how much of this has to do with consumer interest in meat substitutes? Are consumers moving to Beyond's rivals, or overall are we seeing a waning interest?
So there's definitely a demand problem that the entire category is dealing with. Yes, grocery sales of plant-based meat substitutes are falling, and that is after several years of, you know, really rapid growth. We have seen other companies scaling back their investments. That includes JBS, Maple Leaf Foods. But if you look at the data, Beyond sales, grocery sales anyway, are dropping much faster than the rest of the category. So there is something foundational happening for Beyond. And in fact, sales are increasing for its main rival, Impossible Foods, who is also stealing market share from the company. So there's a category problem, but Beyond's problem is bigger.
So, Jesse, what else is wrong here? We know that the buck stops with the CEO, but do all of the company's problems really end with him?
So many current and former employees have said that the problems start with Mr. Brown, but that they don't end there. A lot of people that we talked to felt that they had hired other employees who were inexperienced or ill-suited for the roles that they held. And this manifested in things like the company would, you know, make purchases of millions of dollars worth of equipment before it had any sort of process figured out for making products on that equipment. And it wound up purchasing equipment that it didn't need. So, you know, there were investments that were unnecessary. A core problem that many people pointed to, you know, again and again, was this disconnect between Beyond's innovation team and its commercialization team. So this would be the team that is tasked with like developing new products and then the one that has to figure out how to commercialize them and produce these products at scale. You know, there were myriad examples given of situations where the innovation team would create these products, you know, in small quantities by hand in research laboratories. And then employees talked about how these products would be shown and commitments would be made before the company had determined how it was going to produce them on, you know, using factory equipment at scale, which is obviously much different than when you're tinkering in a research lab.
What has Brown himself said about all of this?
So Beyond strongly disagrees with the reporting and with this perspective that, you know, many of the company's challenges stem from Mr. Brown's leadership. You know, the company has said strenuously that they've got a rigorous planning process. They operate from clear priorities. You know, they've got a 3-year strategic vision and an annual plan that informs the work that they do. And I should also say that the company put me in touch with, you know, multiple executives who work for Mr. Brown, who also say that they've had a very different experience of, you know, Mr. Brown's leadership. They say that he's a strong leader and that, well, yes, you know, plans change and the company tries to be agile and they follow the market. They say that while that's all happening, Beyond still is following really consistent priorities.
As you've enumerated, there are a lot of challenges right now for the company. What is the plan to overcome them?
So they say that they're really going to narrow and focus their business. They're going to narrow the restaurant and retail opportunities that they pursue, and they're going to focus on updating their core products, like their plant-based sausages and burgers and beef. And they're trying to reorganize their manufacturing operations to reduce expenses. And of course, a big part of the reduction of expenses was the 2 rounds of layoffs that they've done in recent months. And they're hoping to get to cash flow positive operations in the second half of 2023.
That's Wall Street Journal agriculture reporter Jesse Newman. Jesse, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And finally, with Thanksgiving nearly upon us, 'tis the season for gratitude. And it turns out just using 2 tiny words, thank you, can make a big difference at work. In a survey for the employee engagement platform Bonusly, nearly 2/3 of respondents said they would work harder if they felt like their contributions were noticed by management. And an October survey from Gallup found that recognition increases an employee's sense of belonging. Sarah Aljo, a professor of psychology and neuroscience at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, says a little appreciation can have a huge effect in the workplace.
Thank yous seem to kind of be the gift that keeps on giving. So if you thank me, I feel valued, and I actually am more willing to work hard on the thing that you thank me for specifically. But the person who thanks themselves, they also feel better about the other person because they kind of remember what it was that they like about the person. And this is the cool new set of findings that we have. Even people who see that thank you happen, they like you more and they're more willing to kind of go out of their way to help you in the future as well. And we think it's because you've just shown that you're the kind of person who notices other people around you and sees kind of their contributions to what you're up to.
You can hear more about how to express gratitude to your employees and colleagues on this week's episode of the Wall Street Journal's As We Work podcast. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.